Good afternoon. It's good to see several out this afternoon. We're grateful for your presence. If you will, go ahead, open up your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we're going to look at verse 13 here in just a moment. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. When I wanted to do a little bit of something different this afternoon. I wanted to look at a subject that may not get looked at a whole lot. I've been told in some congregations that there's some misunderstanding regarding a couple of words we sometimes use, and that is those are the words of murder and killing. Sometimes, I don't know if there's any confusion here on that, but there are sometimes throughout congregations a confusion on this because they think that both are the same thing. And they are closely related to each other, but they're a bit different. And we're going to see that this afternoon. And one of the reasons why I think it's important for us to look at this subject is when we look at it, again, there's a difference, and we need to understand that when we look at this. And there's people that are confused on it, again, throughout several different congregations. And again, we need to be looking at this. Now, when we look at the subjects of killing and murder, they are a little bit different. That's the subject we're looking at this evening. There's a difference between the two. When it comes to murder specifically, murder is the idea of to kill a person unlawfully. You look over in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, the Lord said in the Ten Commandments, "You shall not murder." If you're reading from the King James Version, it says kill. I don't know if that's a fault of the old English or if that's a mistranslation, but it says you shall not murder. To kill is a little bit different here. And it's important that we understand that because there is a type of lawful killing, types of lawful killing, I should say. Because the word kill just means to cause death. Exodus 21 verse 12, so just turn over to the next chapter, if you will. It says, "He who strikes a man so that he dies," notice this next phrase, "shall surely be put to death." That could be translated as kill. And the point that I'm trying to make from this sermon is, again, there's some confusion along this line because some people think that to cause death in any situation is wrong, and that's just not the case. Because there are types of lawful killing. Well, of course, murder is wrong. We know that. We could see that even under the New Covenant. When John, in 1 John, says in chapter 3 that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But there are types of killing that is lawful. For example, with here in Exodus, there was a type of killing that was a death penalty taking place. And there's other types of killing. For example, if I take a can or whatever they call it of Roundup and go across the sidewalk, I'm killing the weeds. That's not murder. A person kills an animal for food. That's not murder. A person kills a person in self-defense. That's not murder. There are types of killing, again, that are lawful. And one phrase that might help us understand this is all murder is killing. But not all killing is murder. And we might understand it from an analogy that's similar to that, where I might say all dogs are animals, but not all animals are dogs. Now, why would I say that? Because there's different kinds of animals. You have cats, you have goats, you have cows, you have all kinds of different kinds of animals. And so when it comes to killing, murder is just a type of killing. It's not, the two aren't exactly the same thing. Murder is just a type of killing. Murder is, again, to kill a person unlawfully, whereas killing just means to cause death. And there are types of lawful killing, which we're going to look at a couple different types of killing. Which one would be, of them would be animals? We can look over as far back as Genesis, and we can see that there were animals that were killed for food. In Genesis chapter 9, turn over there if you will. Genesis chapter 9. And one of the reasons, again, why I think it's important for us to go through this particular subject is, again, there's some confusion throughout some different congregations of the Lord's church. And this would help us, if there is no confusion here, this would help us be able to explain this to brethren who might be confused. But and it would also help if there's anyone here who's confused on it, it would help as well in that area. But in Genesis chapter 9, after the flood, it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the terror of you will be on every beast of the earth and on every bird of the sky, with everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hands, they are given. Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I give all to you as I gave the green plant. Only you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood.'" Now, of course, you can look in Leviticus 11, and there were some regulations under the law of Moses. But if you turn to Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, you can read about some of that being cleared up by inference. Turn over there, if you will, to Acts chapter 10. Peter would see a vision regarding some animals. Acts chapter 10, notice with me verses 9 through 13. Acts chapter 9, 10, verses 9 through 13. It says, "On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. But he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky opened up, and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to him, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.'" Now this is all in reference to the Gentiles. Peter's going to be going and preaching the gospel to Cornelius and his household. The household was made up, once again, of Gentiles. But when you come to this passage, it shows that, and it references the fact that the Old Covenant concerning these kind of laws was no longer in effect. It's an inference based on this particular passage. And another example we can think of when it came to lawful killing of animals would be sometimes they were killed for clothing. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. When Adam and Eve had sinned, you read about this. Turn over there if you will. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed him." Now, when you read that passage, garments of skin, where do you think you got the skin from? An animal had to die. And so there was lawful killing in that regard for clothing, lawful killing of animals, and also killing for shelter. Sometimes back in that time period, they would use animal skins for tents. If you look back in regards to the tabernacle, we see that they had a couple of different kinds of animal skins for the tabernacle, which was, as we've studied, a particular big tent. Exodus 26, verse 14, notice this, describes the covering of the tabernacle. One of the coverings we've talked about, how these coverings have foreshadowed Christ. As we went through our Exodus study, chapter 26, verse 14, "You shall make a covering for the tent of ram's skins dyed red, and a covering of porpoise skins above." A lot of people say that the porpoise was a seal or a seal-like creature, but animals had to die in order for this tabernacle to be put together. Animals had to die. Animals had to be killed for that purpose. And so there was lawful killing, and there is lawful killing of animals, whether you look under patriarchal period or the law of Moses, and even today, based on what we've read in Acts chapter 10. Now, this does not condone animal abuse, though. Here's the thing. A lot of folks think that, you're condoning, when you say it's lawful to kill animals, you're just condoning animal abuse. Well, that's not the case at all. If you look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10, notice that with me, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 10, this is what it has to say. It says in verse 10, a righteous man has regard for the life of his animal, but even the compassion of the wicked is cruel. You see, even the righteous man, according to Proverbs, he's someone who's going to be taking care of his animals. He's not just going to abuse it. He's not going to abuse his animals. The Bible does not condone those kind of actions, nor does it approve of wasting animals. Some people, they kill for sport. Maybe you've heard of that. A few verses down to verse 27, a person who would do something like that is actually considered lazy. A lazy man, it says, does not roast his prey. He doesn't cook the meat that he kills. He just kills something and lets it lie on the ground and decompose. Some people are like that. The Bible doesn't condone that kind of thinking, though. But you know, a lot of folks, when they see this, they try to be more righteous than God. You come across these folks who say it's completely wrong to kill animals. If you're going to kill a cow for food, that's murder. If you kill a chicken for food, that's murder. If you kill another animal for food, you're a murderer. You're going to run across several people. There's a group, I forget what it's called, but I think they're the people for the ethic treatment of animals, something like that. But what they do is they say it's murder. And that's just not the case. That's not what the Bible says. But people think that they can be more righteous than God, they can be, in a sense, better than God by saying, well, it's wrong to kill animals. The fact is that that's just not the case. Another kind of lawful killing that's in the country is sometimes humans. Now, I emphasize the word sometimes, because this is not talking about murder, what we're talking about. This is not talking about lying in wait and killing someone. This is not talking about finding someone and killing him or killing someone on the spot for some reason. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about different situations. For example, capital punishment. Under the Old Covenant, we saw this. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 17. We see an example of that here in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Some people think that it's wrong to kill humans entirely, but again, this is not all, like we've talked about, not all killing is murder. Not every situation. Capital punishment is an example of this. In Deuteronomy 17, verse 2, it says, if there is found in your midst, in any of your towns, which the Lord your God has given you, a man or a woman who does what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God by transgressing his covenant, and has gone and served other gods and worshiped them, or the sun, or the moon. You see, people worship the sun and moon. I think a few people even do that today. Or any of the heavenly host, which I have not commanded. And if it is told you, and you have heard it, then you shall inquire thoroughly. Behold, if it is true, and the thing certain that this is detestable thing has been done in Israel. In other words, when it says inquire thoroughly, this doesn't mean gossip. You know, people gossip. The children of Israel may have been guilty of gossip at times. But this isn't gossip. They're inquiring thoroughly. They're investigating this. What's supposed to happen? Verse 5. Then you shall bring out the man or the woman who has done this evil deed to your gates, that is, the man or the woman, and you shall stone them to death. They were to kill them. Why? Again, this wasn't murder. This was a form of execution for disobedience. This was a form of capital punishment under the Old Covenant. Now you come over to the New Covenant. Look over in Acts 25, verse 11. Paul had something to say here in Acts 25, verse 11, when he's before the people who are accusing him of things, and he's before a couple of the rulers. Chapter 25, as he's before specifically Festus. Excuse me. Before Festus, this is what he has to say in verse 11. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if none of those things is true of which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. Basically, right there, Paul says, look, if I have done anything worthy of death, then put me to death. Why would he tell them to murder him? He's not telling them to murder him. He says, if I'm guilty of something that requires the death penalty, then give it to me. I'm not going to refuse it. He understood that folks had that right. They said, look, I'm not guilty of anything. That's why I appeal to Caesar. You see, Paul's not saying, I'm going to consent to you guys committing a sin and murdering me. He's saying, I consent to you exercising capital punishment if you have to, if I have done anything wrong, if I have done anything worthy of the capital punishment. You come over to Romans 13, verse 4, another good passage. We were in this a few weeks ago. Romans chapter 13, verse 4, really I should say a few months ago, says there, and really let's back up to verse 3. It says, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, a fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for it is a minister of God to you for good. Talking about the government. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. One translation says, does not bear the sword in vain, for it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. That idea of bearing the sword, that's the government's right. That's the idea of the government having the right to put to death someone. Someone says, well, how is that the case? Well, you don't, a sword isn't used for just locking someone up in a prison cell. Otherwise, he'd say he does not bear the prison cell in vain, or he does not bear the dungeon in vain. It says he does not bear the sword in vain. The sword was used to put people to death. Matter of fact, you can read about an occasion where that power was abused in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, to put one of the apostles to death, James. But it was abused. But the government has the right to exercise that authority to put to death on those who are guilty, those who are guilty of wrongdoing. And the same thing goes for those who would be police, military, even prison guards, perhaps leading a prisoner to their execution. When it comes to that, again, that phrase there, does not bear the sword in vain, you see, he's an executioner of God's wrath. He's someone who executes God's justice. That's what the government does. And when you think about the police, they're called law enforcement. The police are used to enforce the law, enforce the government's law. And when you read about that particular, you think about along those lines, when it comes to law enforcement and when it comes to the police, they, in some cases, I'm not talking about corruption. I'm not talking about times where the police might be guilty of racism. I'm talking about occasions where the police may have to take a person's life because they're refusing to comply with the law. And they have every right to do that. We need to understand if we're pulled over by a police officer, they are worthy of respect. When you're pulled over by an officer, it doesn't matter if you're male or female, black or white, tall or short, anything. It needs to be yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you, sir. Have a good day, sir. Anything beyond that, and trying to be a smart aleck with the cop, and trying to be someone who I'm trying to think of the words, smart aleck, someone who's a know-it-all, someone who's refusing to comply with the officer's orders. Again, he's acting on behalf of the government. Any refusal on that may result in a person's death. And it often does. And if the police officer has to put someone on the ground, if a police officer has to take your life to bring you in compliance, they have every right to do that. By that I mean if you're refusing to comply and they have to do that, they have the right to do that. And you'll have to answer to God for that. But they won't. They didn't murder you. They were acting on behalf of the government. Same thing with the military. When we sent the military over, when 9/11 happened, and we found out it was Osama bin Laden, years later we sent in the military to take him out. Again, that was the government exercising its authority it had to bring justice, to be an avenger, as we read about in Romans chapter 13, verse 4. Again, he does not bear the sword in vain. The government has that right. Sometimes brethren want to fight with that, but the fact of the matter is, it's right there in black and white in our Bibles. We have to recognize that. And there are other forms of lawful killing. It's not unlawful to kill in self-defense. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 13, turn back over there. We read verse 12. Let's read verse 13. Back in verse 12, he who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. That's verse 12. Verse 13, but if he did not lie in wait for him, in other words, if this was an act of self-defense, but God let him fall into his hand, then I will appoint you a place to which he may flee. Again, it's not unlawful to practice self-defense. Another passage, another example, accidental killing. You look over to Deuteronomy 19, verses 1 through 7. Talks about the cities of refuge. What happened was, if someone accidentally kills someone, there's a city of refuge they can flee to, so that way the family doesn't kill them, the family of the one killed. And, you know, we can see this even in today. You know, sometimes I come over to that intersection down the road where the movie theater is. And there's people, I think it might be the same person, who keeps running that red light. Now, if someone's coming down the road and isn't able to stop in time because someone wants to, as one person would say, play the fool and go right out there disobeying the law, and they go right into that red light, go right through that red light, even though it's not green, even though they don't have the go, they don't have the right of way, and someone in the other intersection, I guess, the people coming up see that green light, but they don't see that car until it's too late, or they don't have enough time to stop, and they end up smashing into that person and killing them. Well, that's not murder. They didn't murder them. That's not an unlawful killing, you see, because they weren't making that attempt to kill them. They just didn't have enough time. It was an accidental killing. They didn't have the time to stop. Their brakes wouldn't allow them to stop before the guy decided he wanted to run a red light. That's just an example. It's not a sin to accidentally, and I emphasize the word accidentally, kill someone. It wasn't a sin under the law of Moses, and we can even see examples of why it's not a sin today. Another good example, another way that it would be a lawful killing to kill someone is if it's to protect property, kind of along the lines of self-defense here. Someone breaks into your house, you read about this in Exodus 22. Someone breaks into your house, you go and you fight him and you end up killing him. You didn't commit a sin. You didn't murder him. You were defending yourself and defending your property. We can even see an example, and this is an analogy in Luke chapter 11 where Jesus is speaking. Turn over there if you will. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, I want you to notice verse 21. He's using it as an analogy for something else. But it wouldn't make much sense if he's using a sin to for this analogy. He's saying, well, he's talking like this in this particular idea of defending one's home, defending one's property, or defending one's family in one's house. If that's a sin, it makes really no sense for him to use this analogy. Verse 21, it says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own household, his possessions are undisturbed. And so we see right there, if a person, he can guard his house. What's he guarding it from? How's he going to guard it? He's going to stand around kind of looking all muscly and trying to, you know, just kind of intimidate the people off? Well, no, he's talking about the fact that he's going to guard his own house. Again, sometimes that may require, if someone breaks into your house and you're trying to protect your house, you're trying to protect the family in your house, sometimes that does require taking a life, causing death. And so we've seen there are occasions where, once again, sometimes killing is authorized. Sometimes it's lawful to kill. We've seen that in the Scripture. It's lawful to kill animals. It's lawful to sometimes kill humans if the situation calls for it. What we've talked about here. Not murder, but where it is authorized, where the situation may call for it. And so that's something I wanted to talk about. Again, there's confusion along these lines. There's people that can get confused on this, and that's one reason why I wanted to talk about that this evening. And I do want to go with one final point. I know we talked about it a few weeks ago, about a month ago, really. But I wanted to talk about abortion just real quick. Abortion is murder. It's an unlawful killing. The baby in the womb is not trying to kill the mother. The baby in the womb, it's not an act of self-defense. The baby's not trying to kill you. You think about the fact that the baby is human. Some people make that argument. It's not a human. It's a lump of cells. It's just a lump of skin tissue. When you turn to passages like Luke chapter 1, verse 36, what does it say about John the Baptist when he was in the womb? It says that the baby leapt in Elizabeth's womb for joy. Does that need to be translated as a lump of flesh leapt in the womb for joy? Does that need to be translated as a lump of flesh, a lump of skin tissue leapt for joy? Some people even call the baby in the womb a parasite. The parasite leapt in her womb for joy. Is that how it needs to be translated? Of course not. That's dumb. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's a baby inside the womb. Nothing less than that. We know the baby's innocent. You can't get more innocent than a baby. You can't get more innocent than a baby that's still in the mother's womb. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19 refer to how God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Once again, you can't get more innocent than a baby inside its mother's womb. Some people make the argument, well, I can do with my body as I please. Well, if you actually look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, that's actually not the case. Let's turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says in verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? And we've talked about this. The word in here is the idea of in connection with. The temple of the Holy Spirit who is in connection with you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Our bodies belong to God. We need to honor God with our bodies. That means we can't just do whatever we please with our bodies. And even on top of that, the baby is not your body. The baby is not the mother's body. The baby has its own sex. It can be women give birth to boys, you know. I know that's kind of like a duh, but the thing is, they don't give birth to just women. It has a completely different gender. It has a completely, from the mother. Sometimes it has a completely different blood type from the mother. Again, we see the fact from those things and that the baby is just simply not a part of the woman's body. When a person says that they want to have an abortion, they're not deciding what they're going to do with their body, they're deciding what they're going to do with that baby's body. And that's just the simple fact. Abortion falls under unlawful killing. It's not a lawful killing that we've talked about today. It's murder. That's the simple truth. That's what the Scriptures show us. And so that's what I wanted to talk about this afternoon. Again, there's confusion over the concept of killing versus murder, and I wanted to go over this in case maybe you know someone who might be confused. Maybe there's someone here that is confused on it. I hope that this helped explain some things, how all these things work, helped explain the difference between killing and murder and how they're not necessarily distinct, but murder is only a type of killing, whereas there are types of killing, as we've discussed, that are lawful. Again, killing animals for food, killing a person in self-defense, and all the other things we talked about this afternoon. I hope that helps with that. And so we want to extend the invitation to anyone here this afternoon who may need to obey the gospel. Maybe you've fallen into some sort of sin. You can return to God this afternoon. If you have obeyed the gospel and you need to return to Him because you've fallen into sin, you can do so this afternoon by repenting of your sins, confessing your sins, and we'll pray to God for forgiveness on your behalf. Perhaps you haven't obeyed the gospel, though, at all. Perhaps you've never decided to become a Christian. Perhaps you've never decided to be saved from your sins. I run into folks several times. They'll say, well, you know what, I'm just too wicked to be saved. Well, you know, a murderer could be saved. I don't know how much more wicked you can get than that. And the people I talked to didn't murder anybody. And so even a murderer can be saved. So can anybody else. If a person needs to obey the gospel plan of salvation, and they have the ability to, a person who needs to has the ability to, is what I should say. But if you need to obey the gospel plan of salvation, please don't hesitate in doing so. We don't know when the Lord's going to return. He may return today. He may return before the closing song. We don't know. If your heart is not right before God, it needs to be made right with Him. You need to get your heart right with Him. Do so this afternoon right now as we stand and sing.